Good morning. God bless you and welcome to The Rock Church. How's everybody feeling? Feeling good? Hey, let's give Jesus a round of applause. Give Jesus some praise. Hallelujah. Great to be with you. I want to welcome all of our campuses. So shout out to every single one of you. San Marcos, El Cajon, City Heights, Rock Church, Chula Vista, Point Loma, everybody online, everybody in Oahu. God bless you. Let's greet everybody. Clap your hands. Say hello to your extended family. All of our guests for being here. I got a lot to unpack today, a lot of things to talk about, and so I may move pretty quickly. You may, if you're a note taker, take a lot of notes today, so I'm just giving you a fair warning because I have 32 minutes and 17 seconds left, 15, 14, and it's counting down, so I'm going to move fast. But hey, today is Super Bowl Sunday. Who's excited for the game? Anybody excited? Great, good. Hope you enjoy it. Be safe. Have a good time. Are you guys tracking the Olympics started? Isn't that crazy? I feel like it just happened. It just popped up. There's this, Winter Olympics are going on. Come back next Sunday. We are starting a brand new message series entitled Truth and Relativity. Truth and Relativity. That's a mouthful even to say that clearly, but it's in the vein of apologetics, which is defending the gospel, defending the faith, and it's a deep dive into the things of God. So if you've ever thought about when's the perfect time to come to church, I would say every Sunday is a good day. But if you want to bring somebody, at the beginning of a new series is awesome. You can get the kind of the idea of where we're going and stay there for the whole collection of the messages. That starts next Sunday. Also, I want to mention that if you were not here last week, you may have missed that we got a lot of cool things happening and going around our church. One of them in particular is that this Sunday is our City Heights campus final Sunday in their building. They are relaunching their campus into a new facility on March 1st. They are going to Hoover High School. I think we have a picture up there. Come on, clap your hands and celebrate. They're going crazy right now. They're excited about it. Bigger auditorium, better parking, new facility. It is going to be great. And also, our Oahu campus, this is their last Sunday in their current building. They're going into a brand new building next week. Isn't that cool? Come on. Come on, Oahu. Shee-hoo! There you go. There we go. I'll be with y'all next week, and I'm telling you the truth. I will be there next week. Cannot wait to hang out with you. A lot of cool things happening around our church. I do want to pivot, though, as we are talking about all the cool things that are happening. There's some painful things happening in our world, and maybe you're tracking, maybe you're not, but there was a social media post that went out from the president's account on Truth Social, and our pastor has a video that we'd love for you to watch and take a look.
How you doing, family? I want to take a minute to share a couple of thoughts about the video that the president posted depicting the Obamas as monkeys or apes, a video that I'm glad they have since taken down. When I was growing up, that's all I was called, monkey, ape, gorilla, the N-word, my siblings, my parents, my grandparents. So it was a trigger for me. And I want to just share a couple of thoughts, especially for the people who may have experienced that same reminder of that dark time in our life. Number one, God loves you, and He has placed an incredible value on your life, so much so that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for you. So let me encourage you with that thought and to have the view of yourself that God has, that you are made in His image. And for all of us, I so value the diversity of our church. I so value the family that we have there, and that every single one of you, God has made in His image, every single one of you, He loves so much. And I would ask that after this video is over, that you, at some point in the service, find someone that looks different than you, because God made them different and made them unique, because He is creative. He's made you beautiful. And tell them God loves them. Tell them that they're beautiful, that they're special and valued. And may God bless all of you. May God bless our church. May God bless America. God bless y'all.
That's great. I know in a room this big and all of our campuses, some of you have been tracking since it happened on Friday, and others of you aren't on social media, maybe don't watch much of the news, and so you're thinking, I'm not even sure what this is about. But I appreciate our senior pastor's personal take and his experience. I haven't lived his personal experience, but I'll say three things. Racism of any kind in my house, in your house, in the White House, their house, is demonic and evil. I don't have to convince you of that. Would you agree with that? Say amen. Okay, good. Whether intentional, not intentional, he did it, a staffer did it. Listen, I've already got people commenting in my own social media about saying too much, not enough. Here's the deal. Racism is demonic. There is no debate over that. The second thing I'll say is that we love our church and the diversity of our church. Black, white, Hispanic, Puerto Rican, Asian, Chamorro, Hawaiian, all of it. White, everybody. It's beautiful. It is a picture of heaven. I don't think there will be segregated locations in heaven. We're all going to be together worshiping our one Savior, Jesus. We are a great example of the kingdom of God, to the kingdom of God, so much so that this past Thursday, we had a church that for the past few months has been calling us and wanted to come visit us. They came on Thursday and sat down with our leadership team for 6 hours, and they came to say, teach us how to be a diverse church. That was the whole topic for 6 hours. How do we have diversity like you? And so we're so blessed and honored that really it's all of us together saying we honor the image of God in every single one of us. Here's the third thing I'll say. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get in the rest of the word today about serving, but specifically this topic. Jesus in John chapter 17, talking about his prayer to the Father. Jesus taught on prayer, but he had one prayer that was his prayer. He said, Lord, this is my prayer, that they would be one as, Father, you and I are one. So that's my prayer too. It's Jesus' prayer that we would all be one and that we would honor the image of God, the Christ-likeness that is in all the believers, and the people who are far from God are still made in the image of God, and we celebrate that. So let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your prayer. Help us to be one. Help us to be a model of unity, not just in our city, but for the world and for other churches. And we are grateful for our diversity. We also understand that with diverse people comes diverse issues, diverse politics, diverse perspectives, but we are united on the name that is above every other issue, and that is Jesus' name. And so we worship him, and we lift up his name, and we point our eyes to him right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said amen. 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 Let's give the Lord a hand. Come on. Amen. Thanks, Shalom. Today, as we shift into the message, we are in our second week of our ministry fair. And what that means, if you're watching online, is that at all of our campuses right now, we have tents set up and tables set up, putting on a little show of our ministries, different parking and prayer team and hospitality, our cafe team, safety ministry. And while we're doing that, we did a survey about 3 weeks ago and asked you, our church, hey, we want to get better and we want to create a distraction-free environment for everybody to come and not have to worry about all the other stuff that it takes to get here and park and check in kids and give us your feedback on how we can get better. And you did that, and so one, we want to say thank you, but we realize that we can't do this alone. We need to build a bigger team so that we can serve you and we can serve the people of San Diego better. And so today I want to talk to you for the second week in a row on the topic of serving. Somebody say serving. And really serving as a way of discipleship, and not just serving in the church, serving outside the church, but just the heart of serving. And I want to read Matthew 20, verse 26. We'll put it up on the screen as kind of an anchor for where we're going. And it says this, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be great among you must first learn to be a servant. And by show of hands, how many have ever thought, I want to be successful? How many have thought that before? I want to be successful in school. I want to be successful in business. I want to be successful in whatever I put my hand to. How many of you have ever said, I want to be respected by my peers? I want to be respected by people. Absolutely. Yeah. How many have ever said, I want to be trusted with important issues? I want to be trusted with the good kinds of responsibility. I would say all of those things are great. Great aspirations. I want to be a leader. I want to be responsible. I want to be trusted with things. I want to be respected. I want to be successful. And Matthew says, if you want those things that I would say are great, you need to learn first to be a servant. A servant. This week, if you didn't know it, this is kind of my PSA, public service announcement to all the men. This week, besides Olympics, besides Super Bowl Sunday, it's Valentine's Day week. Okay, fellas? So just... Okay, it's Saturday, just, okay, mark it in your calendar. A lot of confused looks right now, looking back at me, like, I don't even know. I had no idea. So, you're welcome. God bless you. When Vanessa and I go out on date nights, and I wish we could do even more date nights. By the way, if you'd like to sponsor us for more date nights, we would receive that blessing to your restaurant. One of our favorite things to do, and she's sitting right there, this service, one of our favorite things to do is we have great conversation, and we're pretty predictable, get the same kind of foods that we like, I like, she likes, and vice versa, but we always enjoy connecting with the server, and especially when they're good. If they're not good, we still connect, but anybody know there's a difference between good service and bad service? Woo-hoo! Good service and bad service. This past Friday, we were celebrating my dad's 92nd birthday. Mr. Wayne Gibson is in the house, everybody. 92, Wayne Gibson. I'm Travis Wayne Gibson, but there was a Wayne before this one, and he turned 92. We went to his favorite spot, Texas Roadhouse, with the beautiful, delicate, little sugary, glistening, buttery rolls they bring out. You know what I'm talking about, those rolls they bring out? Yeah, and they got that little sweet apple butter. Oh, the glaze, and it just rolls off, and we must have had 27 different bread runs from our server. Her name was Cassie. She was fantastic. And, you know, 13 or 14 different refills on your drinks. And it's just, it can be a lot. And we're asking for, can I get a bag? And can I get a box? Oh, can I get a straw? And it's a lot. She was fantastic. And a lot of times when Vanessa and I go on dates, we go, I wonder if they love the Lord. And so sometimes we'll ask them, like, hey, do you go to church anywhere? Do you love Jesus? Because you're just so joyful. Now, in the opposite vein of that is we've experienced bad service where the person comes up to you and goes, can I help you? And I'm thinking, can I help you? Like, you don't want to be here, bro. I can tell. And it's like the bread's crusty. My drink has been low for the past 15 minutes. And here's the trick. When the drink is low, just a little, you know, note for you. You just put it at the end. You know, right? You know what I mean? Like, I'm saying something without saying something. You know what I mean? And then if they don't get it, you just a little bit further. A little bit further. They don't see it. And so the bread's crusty, the drinks don't come, and it's bad service. You got two different scenarios, both in a service industry. And I wrote this down because I think it's interesting if you say, well, I'm a waiter, but if I don't like helping people, that reminds me of us as Christians sometimes. It's like saying I'm a Christian, but I don't like serving. A waiter that doesn't like helping people is like a Christian saying I don't like serving. It's not really a thing. And here's where I'm going with the message today, and this is kind of my big idea, that serving is not an option for the believer. It is the evidence of your faith. It's not extra credit. It is Christianity 101. It's just who we are. It's what we do. It's what we see Jesus do all throughout Scripture. And so I want to tell you a story today in John's Gospel. There's four Gospel accounts, four accounts of the life and ministry of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called the Synoptic Gospels. All that means is they're kind of the same. They tell similar stories. John has the story that I want to read to you today recorded, but it has some extra details. And so go with me to John chapter 6 in your Bibles, verses 1 through 15. And it's the story where Jesus feeds 5,000. And for the Bible nerds in the house today, Jesus feeds 4,000 on a different occasion, and potentially he fed many people on different occasions that's not recorded. But for sure he feeds 5,000, and for sure he feeds 4,000. This is the story of him feeding the five, and here's the backdrop. He is on the hillside just having left the Sea of Galilee, which is more like a giant lake, and I've had the blessing of being there, and there's hills that go all along the lake, and crowds of people, masses of people are following Jesus because he's doing signs and wonders, and they're just, oh, I'm so captivated. But he's done it so much, they followed him so long, but now the day is ended, and they are so far away from the town that everyone's hungry. And his disciples come and go, Jesus, tell them to go home so they can feed themselves. And this is what Jesus says in John chapter 6, starting in verse 1. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. And Philip answered him, "It would take more than a half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another disciple, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy, though, with five small barley loaves and two small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" And Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There were plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Here's a little side note, again, a little Bible detail that you can't read unless you study, is that they only counted the men historically in biblical times. It's not a Bible thing. It's just historically what they did. So there's around 5,000 men. What you conclude is there's also men and women and children. So potentially, there's not just 5,000 men. There's a woman and a child with them, so maybe 10,000 people are there. Maybe 15,000 people are there, and they're having to be sat down in the grass. When they had all, and then Jesus, in verse 11, Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to the disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets. How many baskets? Remember that for later. With the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, he withdrew again to a mountain by himself, which he often did. What an awesome story. Everyone is serving in this story. Is it a story about a miracle? Absolutely, but everyone's serving, and that's why I picked it today, because there's this little boy, and he sees all these people around him, and he goes, "Man, there's no food, but my mom was smart enough to give me a lunch." And shout out to all the moms that pack lunches every single day. God bless you. Yeah, we have some clapping hands right there. Come on now. And the dads. I pack a little lunch myself. Come on now. This little boy goes, "Well, I have a lunch. I got 5 loaves and 2 fish. And, you know, I want to be of help and service." And he offers it to the disciples. And then Jesus tells the 12 disciples, "Hey, there's 5,000 men. There's probably 10,000 people, maybe 15,000 if they brought a child. I want you to sit them down. But pay attention, because in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the synoptic gospels that have other details, it says Jesus had them sit down in groups of 50 and hundreds. Now, dream with me for a minute, because it's not in here, but you got to get yourself there. How do you group up 15,000 people quickly? In your campuses, there's hundreds of people. In front of me, there's thousands of people. And so it's like, okay, I want you 50 in the back to sit down. Not you, ma'am. Please stay seated there. But the rest of you come over here. And I want this 100 group in the middle to go over there in that grass pile. And imagine how long that would take. But the disciples are serving the people and organizing them. And then Jesus takes the bread and he takes the fish and he blesses it. And what does he do? He multiplies it. And then verse 11 tells us that he began to distribute the food. You notice who is serving? Who's serving the food? Jesus is serving the food. But you got to go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to remind yourself that Jesus is like the executive chef. He's like Bobby Flay in the kitchen. And he's got the halibut, and he's got the little Hawaiian rolls, and he's throwing them out there. He's making a meal. And he is delegating through the disciples. He's showing them how to, he said, "We're going to feed everybody. This was my plan all along." But his plan all along was to go first and then have his disciples serve the rest. By the way, this is what Jesus does for you and I all the time. He'll never ask you to do something that he hasn't done already himself. His way of discipleship is to show you the way and then invite us to follow him. Anybody ready for the ministry fair yet? Okay, it's not that easy. I know. There's more to the message. I wish it was. I wish I could just say, "Hey, the kid gave his lunch and served. The disciples put him in seats and sat him down and served. Jesus made the food, and then together they served it. We should all go be like them and serve." But it's not that easy. In fact, over the years of pastoring, I've collected some of the reasons. I'll call them reasons, not excuses. The reasons that I don't serve. Number one, that was high pitch, by the way. That was number one reason I don't serve: I don't have time. I'm just too busy. I don't have time. I heard some mumblings and grumblings. I don't have time. Number two, I don't feel qualified. You don't know what I did. You don't want me on the team. You don't want me serving people outside. I'm not qualified. Number three, that's not really my thing. That's their thing. My thing is giving, and I do this. I don't have to do that. But wait a minute. I started by telling us that serving is not an option for believers. It is the evidence of who we are. Scriptures say that this is how the world will know that you're my disciples: by the way you love one another, by the way you serve one another. And so it's not a "that's their thing and this is my thing." No, it's an "all our thing," but that's one of the excuses. And then maybe my favorite, because we're in church, is "someone else will do it." Surely in a church this big and all the people around me, someone else will do it. Someone else will sign up for parking in Oahu. Right? Well, sign me up for that anyways. It's like, But surely someone else will work in the children's ministry and Rock Kids. Someone else will do it. Here's the problem with all of these reasons or excuses. They're speaking about serving like it's a program at the church. Serving is not a program at the church. It is the purpose of a Christian. We have programs, but we give you an outlet and an opportunity to run your purpose as a believer. They're not programs. This is the purpose of a Christian. So to follow Jesus is to live a life of service. And watch this. Don't miss this. There is no other version of Christianity out there. There's no other version. It's not, I'll do this, but not that. No, no, no. When it comes to serving and giving of our lives sacrificially, there is no other version of Christianity. So the title of my message with the last 12 minutes and 30 seconds I got left, I got to go fast, is titled, The Reason I Serve. The Reason I Serve. And I want you to make it personal. I want you to grab, I got seven, so I'm going quick. I want you to grab your reason why you would serve today. Number one, serving makes me more like Jesus. That's number one. Mark 10:45 says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. That's his end game. Philippians 2, verse 5 and 7 says, in our relationships, your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature is God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage, but rather he made himself nothing. Someone say nothing. Nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. And so Paul says in Philippians, have the same mindset of Jesus. By the way, Jesus' mindset is that of a servant. And so when I serve others, I reflect his heart and I reflect the character of God. When I serve, it makes me more like Jesus. There are a lot of things that you do that make you more like the world. How many know that? There's a lot of activities that make you look more like your friends. When you serve, that makes you look more like Jesus. First reason, I'm going fast, why we serve. Number one, it makes us more like the Lord. Number two, serving is an act of worship. Why would I serve? Why? Because it's an act of worship. Romans 12:1 says, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Wait a minute, I thought worship was singing. We started with worship and the instruments and the musicians. I thought worship was singing. Worship is singing, and it's giving my life, and it's offering my time, and it's giving physical activity and energy to God. It's the type of worship that walks and works. I love that. Serving is the type of worship that walks and works. And so if you're in El Cajon today and you help someone park their car by waving them in, that was worship. If you're in San Marcos today and you serve someone a cup of coffee, that was worship. If you're in the nursery and you can hear me and you're watching this on a screen in one of our rooms at our campuses, even in this room, and you're holding a crying baby, that's worship. Serving is the type of worship that walks and works. I wrote this down, put it up on the screen. Serving is worship in action. That's what it is. I'm not just idle. I don't serve by sitting. I serve by moving. It is worship in action. Here's number three, why I serve. Because serving connects me to the family of God. Connects me to the family of God. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Ephesians 4:16 says, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly, as each part does its own special work, and it helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. God calls this the body of Christ. If you're a believer, if you're a Christian, if you've put your hands in the life of Jesus and confessed him as Lord, you have been baptized, immersed into the family of God. He calls it the body of believers, the body of Christ. And then he says, here's how I make it work. I make sure that every one of you has a special part, a special gift, and it works when you do your part. So the arm needs the hand needs the arm needs the shoulder needs this shoulder. It all works together. And so when I serve, I move from being an individual consumer to a family contributor. I'm not just consuming from the things of God, but now that I'm in the body of Christ and I serve, I become a family contributor. If it is your first day, though, or maybe you're visiting and you're like, I just got here, bro, and I'm leaving tomorrow, then please receive and just consume. But there comes a point in a Christian's life when you become a part of the family that you move beyond consuming to now becoming a contributor. I will spiritually contribute, not just spiritually consume. I remember the first Christmas that I went to Vanessa's house. We were dating, and so it's kind of like meeting the extended family. And she's Mexican, and I'm half Mexican. Their version of Mexican is just louder than the rest of the Mexicans I knew. And then they would talk to each other, and it was like, why is everyone yelling at each other? She said, no, they're just talking. I was like yelling, just screaming. And so I'm in the corner, you know, just observing, trying to figure out like double dutch, when to jump in. And they do this thing at Christmas where every year they rotate who's going to dress up like Santa Claus just for fun and hand out gifts to the kids. And here's the new guy. And they said, the new boyfriend will be Santa Claus. I was like, who's going to do it? It's me. It's me. And so there I am, Jordans and all, and I'm passing out presents and ho, 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 and all that stuff and candy canes. It was a great time. But I knew what it was. I knew what this was. It was a test. And I passed the test, babe. I passed the test. But here's what they were saying. You will not just date the girl. If you want to be a part of what's going on here, you're going to contribute to the family. And so when it comes to the church and the people of God, God is saying, listen, you don't just show up to the family cookout. You're going to help make the meal. You're going to serve the dish. You're going to come and contribute. Not just take spiritually, but you've been here long enough. It's time to activate what's inside of you and start contributing to the family of faith. And when you do, everybody gets better. When you serve and become a contributor to the family of God and get connected to the family of God, you get better, we get better, everybody wins, we all get better. Here's number four. Why would I serve? Because serving develops my spiritual gifts. Develops my spiritual gifts. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others. 2 Timothy 1:6 says, fan into flame the gift of God which is in you. So here's an important note. God has placed a specific gift, a spiritual gift. This is different than a talent. Okay, like, oh, I'm good at basketball. Great. There may be something else there that is different that's called a spiritual gift that God gives to Christians, to believers, and you are to use them. You're supposed to use them to edify and build up and bless people. And here's kind of the aha principle. They only work when you use your spiritual gifts. You're supposed to develop them. And so here, I wrote this down. I'm going, man, I wonder if there's somebody here at church today who feels like they've lost their fire in their relationship with God. But could it be that you, as you observe other people who look like they're just so in love with Jesus, so on fire for God, that the breakthrough that you need and you're wanting is on the other side of you stepping into serving? Because there's gifts inside of you that aren't working because you're not using them. Hello? They only work when you use them. They only grow if you participate. And so why would I serve? Because it develops my spiritual gifts. And so sign up for kids today. Sign up for the worship team today. There will be a tryout. It's different than the other ministries. Sign up for the setup and tear down. We call that portability. Sign up for the prayer team. Sign up because on the other side of you engaging, there is something inside of you that is only from the Lord that begins to stir a fire inside of you that needs the power of God to build up the church. Why would I serve? Because it develops those gifts that are from God. Here's number five. Serving unlocks God-given opportunities. I like this one. Serving unlocks God-given opportunities. For some of you, that's your why. For some of you, they just went, bam, that's it. That's the one I've been waiting for. You said make it personal. That's the one. Serving unlocks God-given opportunities. Luke 16, verse 10 says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with what? With much. That's a lot. That means a lot. If you can be faithful and trusted with what's in front of you, which may seem little, you can also then later be trusted with much. And so the principle is that God trusts more to those who are faithful with what they have right now, even if it's little. And here's what I know about serving. Sometimes people feel like serving is small. Sometimes people feel like serving is even beneath them. But you've heard it said, if you're too big to serve, brother, you're too small to lead. If you're too big to serve, that's beneath me. My friend, you're too small to lead. And everyone wants to be great. And everyone wants influence. And everyone wants to have a big business. But if you're too big to spend time serving the people of God and the people far from God and the people of the city that you're in Oahu and San Diego and El Cajon, wherever, you're too small to then lead. I wonder if I can get full participation from all the single guys. All the single guys, would you just raise your hand for me? All the single guys at 10 o'clock, all of our campus. Okay, nice and high. You're not sure, okay? Okay, just, you know, go ahead and go for it, right here. All the single guys, raise your hand. Okay. Now, all your hands are up. Ladies, take a real quick look. I'll give you 10 seconds real quick. Look at more hands went up. I didn't know he was gonna do that. I didn't know he was gonna ask the girls to look. Put up two hands. Okay, keep them up, nice and high. Keep them up. All the single guys, nice and high. Okay. Keep your hand up, single men, if you serve in our church. Uh-oh. Boop, 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 boop. And your future girl is like, dang. Here's what's wild. Every week, there are single men. I'm just picking on the guys. There are single men that come and go, Lord, give me a girl. Give me a wifey. Give me a booth thing. Make her like bow, 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 bow. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. And here's what you're doing. You're saying, Lord, I wanna lead a family. I wanna lead a girl. And he's going, you wanna lead a girl, but you won't stay late and set up chairs. You want a bride, but you won't serve mine. If you're faithful with the little things and serve, God can unlock opportunities that only come from our Father in heaven. Come on, give him praise. I got two more, and I got 2 minutes. Number six, serving makes an eternal impact. Why would I serve? Because I'm looking at eternity, that's why. There are some activities that, although are good, they only impact today, this week, or this year, but not forever. Serving will impact all of eternity. There's some good things like going to the gym. I love the gym. I love going. It makes my body fit great, great, great. I can't take the body with me. Amen. If you save up and buy a new car, will you have better gas mileage? Probably. Will you get to work safer? Probably. Will you get there safer, quicker? Yeah. But you can't take that car with you. But when you serve, you are making a deposit into heaven that cannot be taken away. You are depositing love, depositing joy in someone's life, depositing service into their spirit that cannot be removed. And here's what Matthew 6:20 says, but store up for yourselves treasures on earth. No, it doesn't say that. It says, but store up treasures for yourself where? In heaven, in eternity. And so if I'm gonna do that, I gotta start doing things that have an eternal impact. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So imagine all the things that we spend our time on that are done in vain. Serving is not one of them. Here's number seven, my last point, then we'll close. Why would I serve? Why would you serve? Because serving changes lives, including mine. Serving changes my life, changes their life, including yours. Going back to our story of the feeding of the 5,000 in verse 12 and 13, I told you to remember, how many baskets were there, by the way? Okay, all right. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to the disciples, gather the pieces that are left over, let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them and filled, how many baskets? 12 baskets with pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. How many disciples? 12. How many baskets? 12. So here's what I think happened. They were serving and changing the lives of these 5,000 men and maybe women and children, up to 15,000 people. And then they went out and Jesus says, now, go collect the leftovers. You get a doggy bag and you get a doggy bag and you get a box and let's go. And here goes Matthew and here goes Bartholomew. Here goes Andrew and Peter, James, and John. Here goes Philip and they're gathering all the leftovers. Give me the bread, give me the bread, give me the fish. And they come back and they're walking back and they're going, dude, look how much I got left over. And he goes, me too. And Peter goes, me too. And Andrew goes, yeah, me too. And Philip says, wait a minute, how many do we have here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. We each got one. Here's what I think happened. Did they bless the people? 100%. Did they serve and change their lives? 100%. They saw Jesus in a new way. But I think the disciples walked back and they saw their baskets and went, whoa, my life has been changed forever. Because my mind and my heart and my love for Jesus has just exploded. He is so good. He is so great. He is so wonderful. He is so miraculous. Change him forever. Last story, and then we're going to pray. One of the guys that works on our staff here, his name is Mark Schneider. And 2 weeks ago, when we were prepping for these two messages on serving and setting up the ministry fairs that are waiting for us outside to go and sign up to serve, be on the team, the first step after you sign up to serve is to join Life Class. Why we do that is because you're going to find out what we believe, our faith, our statement of faith, the things that we say and believe, our history of the church. We want to make sure that you join the team, that you know what you're signing up for. And so I sign up to serve, then I go to life class. That's today, by the way, at 12 o'clock. And we have one online on Wednesday if you can't make today. And I said, Mark, here's the plan. And he goes, great. Do you know my story about serving? I go, no. Well, what is it? And he goes, well, I signed up to serve 20 years ago. I was rough in the road, early 2000s. Thousands of people come to the church. And Pastor Miles, I don't even know what the message was. He just said, hey, we need people to sign up and serve. And he goes, okay, I'll help. And he went outside and found out when there's thousands of people. And then in the morning time, there were only two people serving and parking. And in the evening, God bless their soul, there was one person serving and parking. And so he said, well, I don't have gifts or talents or know anything about it, but I'll just serve the need. He signed up for parking. And he says, but then I just kept saying yes. And so last night I said, Mark, text me what happened. And here's what he said last night. He said, no problem, Travis. Here's the story. I started serving and parking, then served in youth ministry, then heard God call me to be a missionary in India, and ultimately a pastor, just doing the next thing that God put in front of me. It all started with just being willing to serve wherever the need was. I believe, watch this, God accelerated me in ministry because of that. It was through serving wherever the need was that I learned how to discern God's call on my life, which led me to where I am today. Isn't that a cool story? Man, pay attention. God wants to accelerate all of our lives. Serving is a wonderful way to do it. Just saying yes. And it's not saying yes to extra credit. It's not saying yes because you had some extra free time. It's because this is who we are as believers. Serving is not optional for Christians. It is the evidence of your faith. It lets the world know that my life belongs to the ultimate servant. His name is Jesus. So once you bow your heads, let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word today. I pray that we would all be activated and encouraged, inspired to go and make a difference with our gifts and talents, or just serve the need and watch what you do. And there was compelling reasons to serve, but ultimately, Lord, it's just because of who you are, by your spirit and your power, would you move in every single person today, every single believer, every single person, would they be inspired to go out, join the team, serve outside the church, wherever, Lord. Maybe the beginning of all of these decisions starts with a relationship with you. They can't serve you and serve your people because they don't know you yet. And so if there's someone here that needs to give their life to Jesus, I want you to pray this prayer in the quiet of your heart with me and just say, dear God, I believe who you are. I needed this today. Thank you for your word. I also admit that I'm a sinner and I've fallen short of your perfection. But Jesus, I know that you died for me. And you have the power to forgive my sin. So come into my life. I surrender mine. Thank you for loving me. I confess you as Lord. As everybody's heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, if you prayed that prayer today to receive Jesus for the very first time or to recommit your life and you're saying, I'm not going back to the old ways, I'm living with Jesus from now on. I want you to lift your hand on the count of three so we can see you. I'd love to pray for you. All of our campuses, count of three. One, two, three. Put your hand up nice and high. Awesome. God bless you. God bless you, brother. God bless you. God bless you. I see you in the front. God bless you. God bless you. That's great. See you in the front. God bless you. Both hands. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Lord, thank you for every person that said yes today. Thank you for bringing them into our family. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd stir them up, change them forever, mark them supernaturally. It's in Jesus' name we pray. The whole family said amen and amen. Let's thank the Lord. Let's give Jesus a round of applause. Give him some praise.